Blog Talk Radio.
Peace and blessings, my beloved brothers and sisters, family and friends. How are y'all doing this wonderful evening? I'm having little problems. It's going and coming in terms of my breathing. But regardless to what, I'm going to preach the gospel. Bottom line, no more, no less. Doesn't matter what's going on, I'm going to preach the gospel. As long as the Lord allows me to have a breath, I'm going to preach the gospel. I ask you to do me a favor. Pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, forgive me for my sins. Please, Father God, in Jesus' holy and precious name, Heavenly Father, I ask you to give us the strength to carry out your mission so that we, Heavenly Father, can cause people to understand the reality by your Holy Spirit, Father, to know that we all need to be on your mission, loving one another, Heavenly Father, being obedient to you, having faith in you, Heavenly Father, and allowing ourselves, Heavenly Father, in that love to cause people to know that we can truly have a family that will be with one another on a level that says, Satan, we don't belong to you. God has redeemed us through the blood of Jesus Christ and everything that has to do with us, Heavenly Father. I pray that it be according to your glory so that, Heavenly Father, while Satan is coming to devour us, to destroy us, to heal us, to kill us, that we literally come to a point of understanding that without you, Father God, without Jesus, without the Holy Spirit, it will be easy for him to do what he set out to do. Use me, Father God, on a level that will cause everybody under the tone of this voice to please take heed so that we can see the difference between your truth and Satan's lie. I thank you and I love you. In Jesus' name, amen. I was going throughout the day having a difficult time breathing because of the weather. And while having to deal with that, I asked my father to bring about a healing, and I believe that shall happen. But there's some things that I also have to do to help that healing along the way, and that is by way of faith, taking better care of myself, and literally walking in that faith to the degree to where whatever I believed, it shall come to pass. And I was explaining to somebody that the eyes can deceive you, just as your heart can deceive you, just as your ears can deceive you. And unfortunately, we have millions upon millions of people, and I'm talking Christians, who have allowed themselves to be completely deceived by Satan on a level that caused them to believe that they got this thing right in terms of following our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And for a long time, I come to battle that reality. And when I say I come to battle, what I would do is I would point fingers and say, how could you not allow yourself to believe that in Christ you can have all things that your heart desires, as long as what your heart desires is in line with God? How could the people believe that we are less than children. As a matter of fact, I was talking to a young man, and I said to him that about being phony, and he said, "No, I'm not." And God said to me that in his mind, he's not. Gave you the ability by the Holy Spirit to discern between what his mind believes and what I am about. And by that simple thought, I come to see how millions upon millions of people who are Christians can actually be deceived. Yesterday or 2 days ago, I was in a mood to do some things, and the Father literally pulled me back. And I mean that literally, as we know, the Father will never force you to do anything, but this particular time, though he didn't force me, he literally let me know what the damages would be if I did not come back to him. And it led me to this particular chapter, this particular verse in the chapter in Romans, starting at chapter 12 and 1, where it says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Now, when I started speaking, I began talking about that you can have whatever you want as long as it is in line with God. As a matter of fact, Jesus said that you can have your heart's desire. Your heart's desire. And the reason for that is because of the fact that as long as your heart has been purified by that of the Holy Spirit, it will be in line with God. So you will want what God wants, which will free you from your selfish desires and have you going in directions that is not good for you. So as long as your heart is in line with the Father, you're going to get what you want. It's just really that simple. And as I was going through that particular chapter, those two verses, I was looking at, saying, "Father God, please forgive me." Because I was going in a direction that said, "I'm going to get mine. I have to be honest with you. God has been good to me. He has provided things for me that is beyond measure. I don't need to particularly get into that. I won't boast because it's not about me. But he has allowed me to see this beautiful thing here." Paul is speaking, obviously, to the Romans, and thank you, Jesus, for this. He says, and this is in chapter 6 of Romans, and I'm going to start at 13, okay, where it says, "And do not present your members," meaning your body, "as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourself to God as being," thank you, Father God, thank you, Jesus, as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. As we allow ourselves to come to the realization about the simplicity of God, not making it complicated, not needing to hear it in the most profound way, not needing it to be preached with sophistication, not needing it to be preached with such high education, but in its simplicity, then we will not allow ourselves to be deceived by Satan when we hear puffed up mess. Unfortunately, we have a tendency to think that if a person has a lot, if a person can teach it well, if a person can bawl that tickles our ears, that causes our eyes to lust, unfortunately, many of us believe that person must be blessed. Well, I'm here to tell you that I've met people who prophesied over my life, didn't know anything about me, and I'm talking about real people who loved God and they was living in the streets. I met a woman who was rich, lived in a shelter. You would think she had nothing, but what she did do is she left quite a bit of money to her children before she died, although she was living in a shelter. She felt so good about God, and I'm not saying this is what we should do, but she felt so good about serving God, she understood that her shelter is Jesus Christ. So it didn't matter whether or not she had a home that says her name. It didn't matter to her. What mattered to her is that she loved God so dearly, until she knew that she had to go to the uttermost places to preach the gospel. And to her at that particular time was to go into the shelters so that women can see that even though you're in the worst place specifically, or as one might believe, you can find shelter in Christ. I understood that woman as if she was my own mother, though some people would say that she was crazy. But when you love God, you don't need no nothing that will bring you physical comfort. You don't need nothing that will cause your eyes to flash. You don't need nothing that will tickle your ear. You know that you're going to Jesus Christ, that you understand that you're going to heaven. You believe with all of who you are to the best of your ability that the blood has given you that salvation by your confession, belief. As the Bible said, it is by your confession and by your heart believing that you shall be saved. And as I was looking at this beautiful, live, living word, I then understood that you can be a Christian and still be a slave. But a slave to who? See, because you can be a slave to the devil even though you're professing Christ. you remember, Jesus said, they will call me by my name, but I will say, I never knew you. Yeah. It's really dangerous when you don't allow yourself to learn enough about God to be able to hear his voice. Let's talk about slavery, okay? We're still in 6. Now we go into 6 and 15. What then shall we... What then shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? Certainly not. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey? Now, Father God, thank you for this. You are that one slave whom you obey. Whether of sin to death or of obedience to righteousness. You're going to die either way, one way or another. Some shall die and go straight to heaven. Some shall never die, as Jesus said in the book of John. Okay, let's continue. But God has thanked that, I'm going to read that again, be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that formed of doctrine. To which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. Now, I'm just going to stop here for a second. I don't care what people say out of their mouth. Jesus said, you will know them by their fruit. People can speak it, but not everybody is going to actually live it. I'm a testimony to that. I was able to teach it, but I didn't always live it. But the moment that you begin to live it, being free from sin, it's the moment that you actually understand why you got to live for Christ. Because you'll find that when Satan is rearing up on us on this small level that he's doing now, although we think it's large, we will give up righteousness in a heartbeat because we're doing it now. It does not take much for us to give up because we are not allowing ourselves to live by faith that Jesus Christ actually been raised from the dead, and because of his blood, we are saved through that confession and that belief. Because if we actually believed it with just that of a mustard seed, you will see more Christians in the street. You will see more people doing things to let them know that even if I'm poor financially, I'm rich by that of the Holy Spirit, and I can adopt somebody that I can love and I can just be there for them. And if I, even if I don't have a home to bring them to, I can show them the home of Jesus Christ. I can provide them that which allows them to know that they can be free. So I've come to the conclusion of something. Back in the day, I used to say, I will never follow man because man is crazy. I used to say, if you can't get yourself out of poverty, then why do I need to listen to you? But I come to find out that Jesus can get all of us out of poverty. And all we have to do is listen to God. People are just simply talking the talk. I'm sitting and watching because I want to know, are you truly walking that walk? If I come to you and say I'm asking you to pray for me, it's because of the fact that I believe that you're truly walking that walk. I don't care how much money you've got. I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're homeless. I don't care what's going on in your life. I don't care about any of the mess. All I care about is, are you allowing yourself to represent the kingdom to the degree that you have a connection through Jesus Christ so that you can get the Father who may listen to you on my behalf? If I find that I'm going to the left or to the right. Thank you, Jesus, for this. I'm so glad that I've seen what I can go through in my disobedience because I'm learning what I can get in my obedience, which causes my body to go through some things because my flesh, my mind wants what it wants. But by the renewing of my mind, meaning I have a part in telling my mind, I am not under your submission, but you under mine. And I'm telling you that you're going to follow this Lord who shed his blood for me. And body, you are to be put to death because I want to rise in Christ and I want to live this life. I don't want to just talk it. I want to live this life. I want to show people that I love God by loving people that I don't even know. But I went to a gentleman, I won't say his name because some people might happen to know him, and he said, I don't tell my name to everybody, but for some reason I feel like it's okay to tell you my name. And after I finished talking with him about this thing, I said, if I was able to make it so that you can stay in a motel for about 7 days or so, would you accept? The first thing he did was he pointed. There's a church down there, there's a church around the corner, there's a church up the block, there's one down this way, there's three around here. He's calculating the church. And he said, I have never seen you more than about four or five times. Offer me something. You're not saying that you're going to do it. You just opened my mind to the possibility that if you're capable of it getting done, that you shall come to me. And I want to say thank you because I could use a hot bath. And I want to thank you for giving me something that allowed me to say somebody at least cared enough to ask. But he said, what I'm looking at is the nation in your eyes is telling me that you want to try to get this thing accomplished. But if you don't, Brother Larry, I want to tell you, I just fell in love with you because you cared about me enough to show what Christ has done, what Christ is doing in your life. Yeah, I know I'm dirty. I know I don't smell all that good, and I know you see me out here begging for money. I know. But I do love God. Now, those are not the attributes necessarily to say you love God by my offering to help. That's That's really small, but it is a necessity. God actually commands that you can go to Matthew 25, 35, and 36. And then you can go skip down and go to 40, and you'll see where Jesus said, that which you did to the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. And then, of course, he talks about what you didn't do. So it is a necessity, but the reality is if you understood that you are actually a child of God, you would emulate everything to the best of your ability. And when I say to the best of your ability, I don't mean by your own strength, but by your allowing the Holy Spirit to give you the strength to fulfill what God has created you to be. Then you're going to do your best to allow yourself to understand that it takes your humility. No kidding around. See, because you come to see that you're going to be a slave to somebody. To somebody. As a matter of fact, if you go to 1 Corinthians, thank you, Jesus, 3:16 or 17, you'll see where Paul is asking for correction, letting it be known that we are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in us. Caps it off with a question, which temple are you? And he's asking that question because somebody is going to control you. So either you're going to present your body as a living sacrifice unto Father, or you're going to allow your body to dictate to you what should be given to you, which means you'll be slaves to the devil. It's really just that simple. Coming to you to give you his word and great sophistication. Because the reality is, I'm not capable of doing that, to be honest with you. The second thing is because if we look at what Jesus always did, he gave us his word through parables because he knew that if I attach the word to things that y'all can associate it to, then you might get this thing right. I don't have to come to you with no sophistication. I just want to come to you in a manner that caused you to say, oh my God, I was able to get that. I understood that. Now I'm going to walk that. Holy Spirit, help me get there. Because literally, I want to be a saint to God. I want to carry this out. I want to let the world know that we have two commandments. To love the Lord thy God with all their mind, all their strength, all their heart and all thy body. All thy soul. And the second is like it. To love thy neighbor as ourselves. For if we fulfill that, we fulfill the whole law, which is the Ten Commandments. God bless you, man. I love you so much. Take care of yourself. Bye-bye.